Greetings, I'm Greg Coleridge, Director of the Northeast Ohio American Friends Service Committee. This is our weekly audio podcast for Friday, May 23rd, the start of the Memorial Day weekend. As always, we hope this audio resource informs you about issues you feel are important, updates you about past and upcoming plans and activities of AFSC, and inspires you to take action. It is, after all, grassroots social movements made up of well-informed, prepared, and motivated people that create real change. Like every podcast, today we'll be sharing activities from last week that we were involved in and announce upcoming events and activities. However, today we have a special feature, an interview in place of the segment that we normally share news from the previous 7 days. However, let's start with events and activities we were connected with over the past week. Last Saturday, May 17th, we co-sponsored an event primarily organized by the Cleveland affiliate of Move to Amend, featuring Chris Stocking, who is active in Cleveland Move to Amend and several other community groups. He was also very active in the Cleveland Occupy movement a few years ago. He spoke on the corporate influence of the proposed Cleveland, what's being called or dubbed the Opportunity Corridor, which is a what would amount to a freeway, pretty much, that would link University Circle with I-490, reducing the time it would take for individuals coming from that direction to get from Interstate 77 and 71 to the University Circle area, where there are many large establishments that employ a lot of people. So the so-called Opportunity Corridor would be a means to facilitate transportation, make it quicker and easier for individuals in vehicles to travel from the interstate to where many of them work and participate. Chris shared and elaborated on the terrific piece that he had written about the many problems, inconsistencies, hypocrisies, and incredible concerns associated with displacement and cost and lack of legitimate citizen input, as well as dominance of the process by the Cleveland corporate crowd in the planning and in the proposing of the so-called dubbed Opportunity Corridor. The piece that he had previously written, which is available for viewing, is at http://, the email address, or I should say web address, is EatRighteous, that's EatRighteous, eatrighteous.org/opportunity corridor. That's his blog, and that's where he wrote this very extensive piece that he spent time reviewing at length and elaborating on during the meeting that dealt and touched on everything, all the elements that I had just previously mentioned, as well as many others. The history behind it, how the powers to be made sure there would not be resistance and opposition coming from the media, as there was many years ago when there was a plan to run what would be a interstate right through parts of Cleveland Heights and Shaker Heights and other inner ring suburbs. That was met with fierce opposition by the community, including at that time the editor of the Sun Press. Well, that was not going to happen this time, so the effort was made to co-opt some of the major media leaders to make sure they were on board before this occurred, that Chris spends considerable time looking at, as well as all of these other elements associated with the Opportunity Corridor. And the corporate influence is substantial, that is continuing and presents quite a hurdle for we the people at the grassroots, including people in the neighborhood, to try to resist. So it was a very fine presentation that will continue in its examination and hopefully unearthing what has been buried in documents that the Plain Dealer has done a just a pathetic job at covering what has been going on. So that was the presentation last Saturday by Chris Stocking. Later that day, on the 17th, in Oberlin, I participated, but attended a presentation by the National AFSC General Secretary, Shan Creighton, who visited Kendall, a retirement community in Oberlin, that evening, last Saturday evening, to give a public presentation entitled Peace is the Way. It was a very well-attended gathering, probably 70, 80 people at least, attended the presentation in the auditorium at Kendall for people who both live in the community, the retirement community itself, in the community of Oberlin, but also many others who came from adjoining communities in Lorain County and western part of Cuyahoga County. Shan shared both historically and in the present what AFSC is doing, both domestically and abroad, both on sort of macro issues related to peace and justice and micro issues concerning the kind of work people do grounded, rooted in communities. She was speaking, reminded me quite a bit of a previous AFSC Peace Education Secretary, a guy by the name of David Gracie, who he was the first person I ever heard use the term glocal, G-L-O-C-A-L, glocal, to describe the work that AFSC does, meaning it combines both local and global together. And they reinforce each other with people who work as staff and committee and volunteers at the local level, having exposure and connection and the advantage of reading and meeting people at who work for AFSC at the international level. And that these ideas, these strategies, these approaches can oftentimes influence one another in those oh-so-very different places can help one realize that while there may be some differences, and are, in fact, differences of time and space and culture and geography and the like, that there nevertheless maybe are also some universals that we need to understand and appreciate. So Shan did a very good job in sharing the work that AFSC does and lifting up through stories, through narratives, some specific examples, specifically of young people and the work that they are doing, both in the present but also in planting the seeds for what hopefully is good work in peace and justice to come. Monday of this past week was the meeting of the Akron Time Bank new member orientation in Akron at the Highland Square Branch Library on Market Street for members who had signed up for the Time Bank but needed to sort of figure out how to work the software and what to offer, what to request, what kind of questions people may have that they can ask other current members, and just to sort of develop trust and get to know one another. So that took place and involved some new people. That program is forever expanding in the Akron area and involving forever more people. If you would like to become involved with the Time Bank, contact our office, talk to Leah. She's the coordinator. Her number, 330-928-2301. And just as a side note related to this, as mentioned last week, the Cleveland Heights Time Bank is, we just got sort of the green light to say we are now in the computer system, so we have a page. We've got our ability now to start our own software, and where we now can list our own, for people who live in the Heights, their own listing of offers, requests, and names and numbers and contact information. So the Cleveland Heights people who AFSC helped sort of get that off the ground should be up and running in the next, hopefully, few weeks. The showing proposed and planned showing on the 21st, this past Wednesday, of the film Rollerball, which is a futuristic film about how corporations dominate and run the world, that, sad to say, is not all that much futuristic these days anyway, was postponed because it turned out, we found out last week or 2 weeks ago, that the library, Akron Summit County Branch Library, where we were going to show the film, closes an hour earlier than we thought it did due to budget cuts, due to the misplaced, insane, and humane budget priorities that exist at the state and national levels. Of course, those kinds of organizations taking it on the chin include things like libraries, and ways that they're trying to balance their own budgets are closing libraries early, which make it difficult for groups like ours and many others to show films like what we were going to show. So we had to postpone the showing since we were going to start it at 6:30 and the film would still be playing at the time of the library's closure. So we have rescheduled that film. It's going to be June 18th at the Unitarian Universalist Church in Fairlawn on Moorwood Road. Details will be shared closer to that event. On the 22nd, this past Thursday, that being yesterday, two events we were involved in. The first was a day-long program, pretty much, better part of a day-long program sponsored by the Middle East Committee of Cleveland Peace Action. It included, involved 16 students from Hawkins School. The students were all part of a Middle East history class there, and one of the day's activities that took place included each of the 16 students being paired with what we were called mentors to learn what it was that motivated or inspired us to become involved in peace and justice work. So they paired up a high school student. These were, I think, for the most part, juniors at Hawken, all of whom are very interested in history in general, Middle East history in particular, and want to do good in the world and be involved after they graduate in some way, shape, or form, and thought a good way to sort of get a sense of how to do that would be to learn how others who are working at the community level in social issues for social change, how they got started and what inspired them to be involved. So I had a chance as the other quote-unquote mentors to share a bit on that, as well as to talk about what we do and why we do it. And good program. Hopefully the students thought it was a good program, and the students thought hopefully that their pairing with old people like us was worth the effort. So that was on the 22nd during the day. In the evening yesterday, we helped organize a meeting in South Euclid of residents who are supporting a recently introduced, what I guess you could be called, move to amend ordinance that has been introduced in City Council that will be up for discussion again this next week. And if it does not pass, then again for a final time 2 weeks after that. City Council person Marty Gelfand last week or 2 weeks ago introduced a measure very similar to what has previously been voted on in other communities in Ohio, Brecksville, Newburgh Heights, Cleveland Heights, Defiance, Mentor, Toledo, where it's up for discussion, Lakewood. All of these more or less are roughly about the same in what they're calling for. Two provisions they are requesting. The first is to establish a local public hearing that would occur either every year, every other year, where residents can show up and testify on the impact of corporate money and money from wealthy individuals on the residents, the citizens, the community itself, of wherever they are. And the second, to inform our elected representatives that if, in fact, this passes, that, in fact, the residents of that particular community are calling on them, our federal representatives, to introduce a constitutional amendment to declare that corporations are not people and that money is not speech, and that we the people have a right to be heard and have a right to have a real, authentic, self-governing, self-determination system or otherwise known as a democracy or representative democracy, which we don't have at the moment. So anyway, residents got together, very spirited gathering with new people and some people who knew other people from other circles, but they came together under the umbrella of a Move to Amend cause and plan to show up, as well as others who were not able to be there this upcoming Tuesday, May 27th, that I'll mention in a minute. So that was all the events that took place this past week, and what's coming up this week are a number of things that we will be either very much involved in or supportive of. Beginning tomorrow, that would be Saturday, May 24th, both in Cleveland, in Kent, and in other communities in Ohio, across the country, and in fact, across planet Earth, there will be marches and rallies, what's being called March Against Monsanto, maybe the penultimate bad apple corporation that is pushing its way around and using its influence to try to force down the throats of farmers, consumers, public officials, communities, and the like, genetically modified organisms, otherwise known as GMOs, that are toxic to plants and to local environments and can spread and infect and invade and destroy other species, both plant and insects, and cause harm even to human beings. So March Against Monsanto is the umbrella that focuses certainly on Monsanto, but makes the larger issue about genetically modified organisms and all that is occurring related to that, environmentally, but also economically and, in fact, politically. I will be speaking at the Cleveland rally that precedes the actual march. The entire gathering is from noon to 3 at Market Square Park, which is the park directly across from Westside Market in Cleveland. There will be, for others closer to Kent, a gathering there, as well as that. I think those are the only two Northeast Ohio marches. But for a full listing, just go on the website and go to March Against Monsanto. Or if you're on Facebook, do that as well. And there's a full listing of all the events taking place all over the globe. The following day, on the 25th, Sunday, in the morning, at, in fact, 9 o'clock, I think it is, yes, I will be offering a workshop entitled Only People Are Persons, Abolishing Corporate Personhood and Money as Speech, as part of an annual gathering of the National Congress of Secular Jewish Organizations, occurring this Memorial Day weekend, all weekend at Ursuline College in Pepperpike. So that's 9 a.m. will be for those who are bleary-eyed and able to get up, and hopefully there will be a few folks who partake in that particular gathering and will, wherever they come from, hopefully be interested enough to go back and become involved in Move to Amend and challenging corporate personhood and money of speech wherever they come from, or if nothing is, in fact, taking place in their community, to launch a campaign and an effort. This entire Memorial Day weekend, this is a very interesting event taking place that we are proud to say that we are having a hand in. Eyes Wide Open Ohio, which was an exhibit that was part of a national exhibit called Eyes Wide Open. For many of you, you will know exactly what this is, an exhibit displaying pairs of empty combat boots, each pair of empty boots representing the soldier, be it man or woman, killed in combat in Afghanistan or Iraq. Associated with that exhibit was also pairs of civilian shoes to represent the many, many times the number of civilians killed in those countries by one or the other combatants on either side. estimated to be anywhere from a half million to more than a million, depending on the numbers and the source. But in that, nevertheless, the number of civilians were many more times than those of soldiers. Nevertheless, the display of combat boots and civilian shoes, very powerful. The combat boots, when they were lined up in order and in line, a very powerful and moving exhibit. It was displayed all over the country from the Capitol in the shadows of the Washington Memorial to the Capitol here in Ohio and Columbus, to many state capitals, many communities. It was in Akron, in Youngstown, in Cleveland, Cleveland Heights, many communities across Ohio and across the country, either the full display or the partial display. In fact, after a while, there were so many combat boots that they had to break them down by state, and thus became the Eyes Wide Open Ohio exhibit. And we took the exhibit around to many places, all over northern Ohio and even to southern Ohio. Anyway, that has not been shown for quite some time, as because the wars, at least the hot wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, have fortunately ended. However, the exhibit itself was recently requested to be used this Memorial Day weekend by the Southwest Ohio chapter of the group American Gold Star Mothers, which is an organization that's been around since the 20s, made up of mothers of those who have been killed, both men and women in wars, beginning from the late 20s up to the present. The present organization, at least the Southwest Ohio chapter, is having this Memorial Day weekend a number of exhibits taking place at the, of all places, the Voice of America Museum of Broadcasting. I was not aware of this, but Voice of America, when they were in operation, trying to provide information slash propaganda in Eastern Europe and Soviet Union and other parts of the world, emanated from outside of Cincinnati, Ohio. Anyway, it is now a museum of, it's called the Voice of America Museum of Broadcasting, and its grounds is in the community of Westchester Township. And that is going to be where the Eyes Wide Open and its 274 pair of combat boots of fallen U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan and Iraq will be displayed. The reason behind the event, according to Rebecca Frank, head of the Ohio chapter of Gold Star Mothers, as well as an active member of the Southwest group, is, she says, to get back to the true meaning of Memorial Day. AGS Mothers want to have an event that reminds people that Memorial Day is not just about cookouts and cornhole games, but actually is more about remembering lives lost, that war is extremely costly, that families never truly recover from those losses, and that we should be teaching our children that Memorial Day is something more than just a day off from school or work. So this is where now the Eyes Wide Open exhibit, which we had been buried in storage for the past year or more, AFSC agreed to turn over our exhibit permanently to the Southwest Ohio chapter and the Ohio chapter in general. So Eyes Wide Open has a new life and will, at least the combat boots anyway, be shown probably in many places in southern Ohio and maybe throughout the state in the months and years to come. Leah Davis, who is in our office, the Eyes Wide Open sort of coordinator, who helped schedule events and physically helped take them to where they were going to go, set them up, take them down, and the like, dropped off the exhibit a few days ago, earlier this week, and will be traveling down this weekend, I believe tomorrow, and be taking pictures. So do check out our website and our a blog post, where there will be pictures of the display at this weekend, Memorial Day weekend exhibit. So that's going on this whole weekend, beginning tomorrow through Memorial Day on Monday. The 27th, which is Tuesday, day after Memorial Day, the previously mentioned South Euclid City Council will be considering placing on the ballot a move to amend initiative. There will be a legislative committee, or I think it's called Legislative Committee of the full city council, that meets at 6:30. So we are organizing and inviting people to attend that meeting, particularly if you're from South Euclid. Anybody can show up to give support, but we're especially working on people from South Euclid to attend and testify where citizens have an opportunity to do so. Why the city council should not vote on this itself, because that's not what we want them to. We don't want them to pass a resolution. We want them to support placing this issue on the ballot, to let the voters decide so that we can use, and so that people in South Euclid can use this as an opportunity to educate and organize and mobilize and advocate and make as much of a measure of this as humanly possible. To get as much mileage as we can out of this whole effort. Because that's what this campaign is in building the social movement. It's building education, an educational base. It's developing leadership. It's identifying prospective council people who are supportive of it and who are willing to not just support it when they're sitting behind a desk on council, but in the streets and going door to door and the like, to really put some legitimate skin in the game, so to speak. Because those are people who we can count on down the road when the city council people of today become the state representatives of tomorrow, if not the congresspersons of the years to come, and senators as well. So that's who we're trying to identify as well. So that's Tuesday, the 27th, 6:30 at City Council. Council Chambers is in City Hall on South Green Road in South Euclid. May 29th, next Thursday evening, AFSC is sponsoring the film showing Legalized Democracy in Stowe, Ohio, as part of an effort there. A couple of people in that community want to get a Move to Amend chapter going, and so we're showing that film. Hopefully we'll dig up some interest and get some people inspired to get something going in their community. That will be at 7 p.m. The address of the Stowe Public Library is 3512 Darrow Road in Stowe. So those are upcoming events. And now for our last segment of the day, this week anyway, instead of sharing relevant news items on issues that we work on from this past week, we this week will be instead interviewing Carla Rautenberg, who is a member of the American Friends Service Committee program, as well as a leader of the Cleveland Heights Move to Amend campaign. Joining me is Carla Rautenberg, who is a member of the Northeast Ohio American Friends Service Committee, our board, as well as was one of the key leaders of the Cleveland Heights Move to Amend campaign and initiative campaign. And we're going to talk about that this day. So greetings, Carla. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Greg.
So how did you first become involved in Move to Amend, Carla?
Well, I became interested in democracy. And so my interest in helping to restore a functioning democracy to this country made the Move to Amend kind of a no-brainer for me.
And how long ago was that, would you say?
Oh, this started a number of years ago, but our actual involvement with the Move to Amend in Cleveland Heights really took about 18 months from initially forming the group to very successfully passing the ballot issue. Yeah.
And why is this issue, this whole campaign, this movement for you so important?
Well, it's not just important for me. When corporations and big money control our political system, we no longer have a government of the people by the people and for the people. Instead, I read a word online that I like. Instead, I think what we have is a kleptocracy. So I'm interested in changing that.
And what does that word mean?
Well, to me it means that people are stealing from the people. People in power are stealing the wealth, the means of production, the political system, and our democracy from the people ourselves.
Cleveland Heights residents brought this issue up before City Council. When was that? A year ago? Or it seems like it was a couple of years ago now.
Yes, a couple of years.
And they passed a resolution. But in the eyes of many residents, that didn't seem to be enough. Why did residents pursue a follow-up citizens initiative? And what did that initiative call for?
Well, we realize that a council resolution is good. It's good to make City Council aware of these issues, but it might make news for 1 or 2 days, and then it basically goes into the permanent record and no one will ever see it again. An initiative petition campaign keeps this issue in the public eye for many months and has an educational value, an organizing value. In this case, it really offers an opportunity for citizens to participate in expressing their opinion on two of the most important issues of our day, corporate personhood and the mistaken doctrine of money as speech. There's really nothing else that offers quite this opportunity to the average person as putting something on the ballot addressing these major issues.
That's quite true, as many communities around the state and country have learned. Resolutions just simply are not nearly as effective as citizen initiative campaigns. And as we were told at one point by some of the Move to Amend National leaders, they were approached by a city council person in a community asking what it would take for their community to get something before council, and the Move to Amend people said, you may want to know that something in fact did pass in your community. Even the city council person didn't know something passed in their community. So that's why so many communities like Cleveland Heights felt that an initiative campaign was much more of an effective educational and organizing tool. What would you say were some of the high points of the campaign here in the Heights?
There were many. It was a lot of work, of course. We spent many, many hours. But it was so gratifying because there were a lot of high points. And so I would just say petitioning at our local grocery store, having people grab the clipboard out of my hand to sign the petition, that was a thrill. Happened time and time again. Dozens, maybe hundreds of people who said, thank you. Thank you so much for doing this. This is exactly what we need. Our country needs this so much. People from other communities who we would ask everyone, of course, are you registered to vote in Cleveland Heights? Because only Cleveland Heights registered voters could sign the petition. And people from other communities would say, oh, won't you come to my community and do this? And I would point out that, well, you can do this in your community. We're doing this here. And then, of course, it was a great high point to win with 77.6% of the vote. That was really special.
Very much so. Very impressive. Just for listeners who may not be completely familiar with what an initiative is, a citizen initiative is, versus just a petition that people hand out, as we're all familiar with having signed many dozens. What actually is a citizen's initiative petition? And what's the difference between it and just an average, ordinary petition that we run into on street corners and fairs, festivals, and the like?
Well, as I understand it, in the state of Ohio, a citizen's initiative that goes on the ballot must pass law. And so it can't just be our opinion that corporations are not people and money is not speech. we had to propose language, and we worked with the law director closely. He was very cooperative. And we developed a petition language that included establishing a public hearing annually to discuss issues of corporate personhood and big money in politics. And we also established that a summary of that hearing would be sent to our elected representatives in Congress and in the state of Ohio to let them know that on November, you know, on Election Day in November 2013, the people of Cleveland Heights did vote for this and did, and then they had their public hearing, and this was a summary of our opinion. And it's considered an instruction to Congress. Right. That's why it has some, it actually has some legal weight, I think.
And how many communities roughly have passed this?
Well, in the state of Ohio, four communities have passed it, and it's going to be on the ballot in a couple more this year. We know that it will be on the ballot in Mentor, Ohio. It's previously passed in Brecksville, which is a rather somewhat politically more conservative bedroom community than Cleveland Heights, which is known as a liberal place. But the first two places it passed were in Brecksville and then in Newburgh Heights, Ohio, in 2012. And in 2013, it passed in Cleveland Heights and in another quite different community, Defiance, Ohio. So we are very active in Ohio on this issue, and it's pretty exciting.
And so a citizen initiative is kind of a democratic tool for people at the grassroots to do an end run around their elected representatives, right?
I think so.
Yeah, without having always to rely on or depend on our public elected officials to do things for us. This is a way where we can do things directly for ourselves.
That's correct.
How about lessons learned from the whole campaign you and others in Cleveland Heights were involved in? What do you think you learned? And are any of those lessons, you think, transferable to other places?
Well, I think some of them probably are. In my opinion, having some basic literature about your specific local initiative is important to voters and to people that you're asking to sign the petition. It can be cheap photocopies. It's good to have something to put into people's hands when you're talking to them about this. The little handout that we used to get petition signatures had a brief summary of the history of corporations gaining constitutional rights and of the history of money being considered protected First Amendment speech. It also had a complete text of the ordinance that would be passed if the ballot initiative were successful. Many times people would say, well, I need to know more about this before I can sign a petition on it. And we gave them the little brochure, very simple thing that we had run off. And a few minutes later, they would come back and say, I want to sign that petition. So I think that's very helpful. Having permission to do your petitioning in a really high foot traffic place is a tremendous help, unless you have hundreds and hundreds of volunteers to go door to door. And I don't think anybody really has that. In our case, it was our local grocery store slash community gathering place. Everybody goes there. Fortunately, the owner gave us permission to petition anywhere from the lobby of the store when it was inclement weather to the parking lot when the sun was shining. And it was just terrific. Nobody ever told us to go away. The store treated us very well.
That's amazing.
It was amazing. It was amazing. And another thing that I would say might be helpful to know is that if you get this on the ballot and the ballot language is in any way understandable to average people, it will sell itself. Corporations are not people, and money is not speech is a totally winning message. People are fed up with the prominence of corporations and big money in our political system. And even in the case of Cleveland Heights, we did have some input into the ballot language, but of course the law director had the final say. And like a lot of legalese, our ballot language was kind of one long run-on sentence. But it contained those vital words of corporations are not people, money is not speech. And it passed. It really passed by a landslide. And people who didn't know anything about it voted for it just based on that ballot language. That was very... that was the most exciting thing to me. I felt like you give people something to vote for that makes sense, and they will actually vote for it.
Mm-hmm. And they did.
And they did.
And they did. You've mentioned a couple of times the two key components or provisions of the Move to Amend initiative here, which is similar to what has been offered in either initiative or resolution form in communities across the country. That's sort of the basic, elementary, bottom line, at least elements or components of Move to Amend. How does that language and those principles compare to what is now being promoted in Congress? In fact, there's a lot of things that's been recently and over the past year or two been promoted sort of in this general vein, but in particular, what's received a little bit of traction over the last couple of weeks has been a proposal by Senator Udall out of New Mexico. From what you know of that proposal dealing with these issues, or maybe only part of these issues, how does what he has offered compare to the Move to Amend proposal and what you passed here in Cleveland Heights?
The Udall Amendment calls for a constitutional amendment that would reverse the Citizens United and McCutcheon decisions by the Supreme Court. And to me, that's like saying that we enjoyed a perfect state of democracy on January 20th, 2010, before Citizens United was handed down.
And before McCutcheon.
Way before McCutcheon.
Yeah.
But, of course, the enshrinement of corporate personhood in constitutional law goes back at least to 1886 with the case of Santa Clara versus the Southern Pacific Railroad. And First Amendment protection for spending money has been the law of the land since Buckley versus Vallejo in 1976. So to say that we can address these fundamental issues with a constitutional amendment that simply overturns two Supreme Court, recent Supreme Court decisions, that in a sense that are just went farther, just made obvious to everyone what really has been enshrined in law over decades and more than a century. I think it's a distraction and a dangerous distraction from the real issue. So the Udall Amendment says, just let Congress set political spending limits. That worked so well with McCain-Feingold, didn't it? It led us straight to Citizens United and McCutcheon. To me, it's just like saying, give the alcoholic the keys to the liquor cabinet. He or she will decide how healthy it is to drink and how much they should drink for their health. Mm. We can't expect Congress to fix this problem. They are addicted to the money. Yeah. So only the people can do it. Only people are entitled to constitutional rights. And speech and only speech is speech.
Speech is speech.
Bananas are not speech. Pianos are not speech. Diamonds are not speech. Houses are not speech. Cows are not speech. And money is not speech.
Right. So the Udall Amendment addresses some of the money is speech provision, but it doesn't touch, from what you're saying, the corporations are not people elements.
Correct. And it also leaves Congress in charge of fixing everything, which is a big mistake.
Right, right. And, you know, another point that I heard raised against this amendment just the other day by some individuals on the national Move to Amend call was the point that, well, if this passes, it's sort of enshrining the fact that, well, money should be, private money should be, it should be regulated, but nevertheless, private money, it's okay for it to be in elections, as opposed to saying, well, there are alternatives out there that have taken the form of voluntary forms of public financing, but that without money equaling speech and corporations equaling, being equivalent to a people, it'd be possible to enshrine the notion of public, full public financing of elections, that this does not seem to accommodate or necessarily allow for. It's sort of underlining and reinforcing the fact that we should, yes, have private money in election, maybe not as much, maybe it should be regulated, but it's reinforcing the notion that private money is okay.
Yeah, I think the Udall Amendment is very dangerous.
Yeah.
And completely, at the least, completely insufficient, and at the worst, pernicious.
Right. So, sort of in summation, why do you think listeners in their community should do what you and others here did in Cleveland Heights?
Well, when we pass an initiative, we are able to state as part of that initiative that it is to be considered an instruction to Congress, as I mentioned earlier. And clearly, our Congress is in great need of instruction from the people. Working on a Move to Amend petition, I think, is such a constructive and positive way for ordinary Americans to reclaim our country and to declare, in Abraham Lincoln's immortal words, that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth. We can take it back. The Move to Amend gives us something really essential, which is hope. In that sense, I think it's grassroots at its very best. It's active. It's proactive. People feel good about working on this issue. They feel good about signing a petition for it, and they feel good about voting for it, because they know that it's real.
All of those very good reasons. And, you know, something that I think is important to remind individuals who are concerned about, well, if I get involved in this, sort of implied in what you're saying is I should be giving up whatever it is I'm doing now. And that's not true. Move to Amend individuals, many of them that are very active in this campaign in their respective communities, are very active in other sort of what we call single issues or responding or reacting to immediate problems. And some of that is real. Some of that has to happen. Some of that needs to happen. But if we're constantly always reacting and responding, we're not, as you just reinforced, we're not proacting. We're not trying to do something that's positive. And that's incredibly important. Agreed?
Absolutely. And I'd just like to add that for me, personally, I realized when I became acquainted with the issue, with the Move to Amend issue, that it was fundamental to all of the various causes that have been really important to me and that I've worked on. It is a fundamental issue, and therefore I realized that. I worked for a long time on universal single-payer health care. We did not get it because of corporate personhood and money in politics. Environmental issues, the same thing. This is the underlying fundamental issue, and so it's the perfect add-on to whatever your particular political or social interest is, I think.
And just as an add-on to that, for anyone who would like to become more involved in Move to Amend in their community, please do contact our office. We can help you find fellow compatriots in your municipality, however large or small that may be. So contact us at our office, 330-928-2301, or email us, go to our website, find out what AFSC is doing, and of course go to Move to Amend, movetoamend.org, their national website. Sign the petition if you already have not, and become more involved. So Carla, thank you so much.
Thank you, Greg.
That's all for this week. Keep up with our activities. Contact us with questions, concerns, or willingness to help out. Our website is afsc.org/Akron. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/NEOAFSC. Our new AFSC program blog is northeastohioafsc.wordpress.com. My blog is createrealdemocracy.wordpress.com. Until next week, onward for justice, peace, and democracy.